Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged and excited that you have joined us in the Extra Hour. You know, it couldn't be any more of a clearer choice. We're going to be talking about in the extra hour today, rethinking church. And the thinking is the primary word in that. And if it's in the Bible and if it's right, what it is, you can think about it all day long. Meditate on the church. Meditate on what God says about the church. And if you missed yesterday, you can go to Original Intent of the Church on the VFN Torch and on your app. And listen, begin to listen. Just dare to ask God questions. Mm-hmm. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Ask the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Don't be scared of that question. Right. Because if you're doing what's right, God's going to answer you through his word. This is why you're doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if God says, finally, you ask the question, why are you doing what you're doing 15 minutes a week? On Sundays, you're asking the question and God will answer you. And because the church is not a place to go to, the church is a people that's called out one. We're called out from the world and we're a people and we're a nation, a holy nation of priests and kings. And our King Jesus is over us and we have a mission statement and we have a direct word from the creator of the universe, what we're supposed to do. So make sure you tune in the extra hour to listen to Rethinking the Church segment. And if you are nervous you're thinking, oh my goodness, I can't let anybody in my church hear this, then you need to hear it for yourself and then share it with your church and realize that if that scares you, that's a control issue and you're feeling like you're the one that is, it's your kingdom and not God's.
Right.
And the way to test that out, have them stop paying you for 6 months and see if you still stay there.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And if you still stay there, I'm serious. Just to test your heart out. You don't know. To say, listen, I want everything that's due me and you should be, there's no reason for you not to be compensated in your pastor in a church if that's what they want to do. But understand this, that you'll be able to check your heart out. And to say, I don't know, just give it to a transient or something for 6 months. Because where your treasure is, that's where is your heart is also. So if your treasure is God's people, if you're overseeing God's people because you love them, then you're not going to abandon them like a hireling. You're going to stick with them. You're going to do whatever you got to do to be faithful to them. If they stop paying you and you start putting an application somewhere else, then you're a hireling. You know, we're kind of ahead of ourselves on rethinking the church. We're just like, hang in there now. We're there. and understand if we've gone so astray from this, we may have to just go to an extreme to put ourselves back in the right kind of mode.
Mm-hmm.
But if in fact, you know, the only reason that you're not in ministry because it doesn't pay well, if the only reason that you are where you are because it does pay, both those motives are wrong. Because the Lord didn't say, if you get paid right, if you get paid anything, go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. You know, he just said, go.
That's right.
And he also said this, you cannot serve both God and money. Mm-hmm. We talked about that yesterday. Whoever controls the economy controls the vision. Well, whoever controls your economy, sir, ma'am, controls the vision. Listen, we got to get this. The economy is never going to get right in America if the church doesn't get our economy right in ourselves. We have to make our bed when it comes to the economy and our finances. Because remember, I was invited once to speak to a group of ministers, and I wasn't, you know, planning on it. I don't ever seek places to speak. You know, I'm speaking now. I just got to maintain my vocal cords. Mm-hmm. But I was there. Brother Kim was there. You know, mm-hmm. my spiritual father, he invited me to go speak, and I spoke. I just shared what was on my heart. Mm-hmm. And I shared kind of about that, didn't I? I shared kind of about, you know, so you find out if they're there for the paycheck or not when they start getting paid. And I thought, and he looks at me and goes, this is good. You need to come back and do it again.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, well, great. He says, and so then later on, I'm at another meeting. I'm finding out somebody was simmering,
mm-hmm.
simmering over that statement for a long, long time.
Right.
And they were simmering because they didn't like that statement.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea. I was just sharing what God had laid on my heart, you know, and, you know, we all can know in part and prophesy in part, and we all can be wrong. But if it stirred your cookies like that much,
yeah,
you know, try 6 months without a form of receiving revenues from the ministry to just check it out. You know, I don't know, give it to a widow or something in mm-hmm. your in the ones that you're responsible for. Oh, pay somebody's rent.
Yeah.
Help somebody's power bill. They're getting so large now, the power. Buy somebody's groceries. And just check your heart out and see, because if we in leadership don't get it right, how is the flock going to get it right?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why that the Catholic Church originally did not want the people to have the word, because it was way back when, was not now, but then, because the leaders were living exorbitant lifestyles. And if the common plowman and the peasants got the word of God, they would find out it's not supposed to be that way.
Right.
And so they kept it from them. And I forget the name of that. They have a whole era about, a name of that era, but it was about living lavish lifestyles of the religious and the famous.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
That was very good.
And lifestyles of the religious and the famous. Join us next week. We'll show you the homes and the pools and the cars and the watches
mm-hmm.
and more ignorance. The but the leadership doesn't get it right. So we got to rethink this. Ultimately, we're all going. Every one of us. I don't care if you're the person who can't even read the Bible because you're struggling in your ability to read, or you're the person who's teaching from the Bible, teaching it, that that we're all answer alone before God.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us answer alone before God.
Right.
And so don't think about what other people think about what you're doing. Realize you're going to have to answer to God for what you did. No witnesses, no suspects. You hear me say it all the time, but I'm trying to give you a perspective so that when you do stand alone before God, you would have already went to the cross and made things right with God. Because once you're standing at the throne of God, which happens the moment you're no longer standing on earth
mm-hmm.
when you die, you're going to be standing in the presence of God. And it's going to be too late. You cannot at that point, while you're standing before God, go, I'd like Jesus, please forgive me. Right. I mean, it's not going to work, right?
That's right.
You would have had to done it before your appointed time of death comes. So I'm not trying to give you a hard time. I'm trying to give you a destiny of eternal life
mm-hmm.
and no regrets when you stand before the throne of God. And it's really not about, I mean, it's such a shallow existence if you think it's about money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very shallow existence. I was talking to some people recently about, you know, Tozer says this. A.W. Tozer says, you know, it's about the blessed. He has a chapter in one of his books. I don't know what the name of his book is. Is the blessedness of possessing nothing.
Right. The pursuit of God.
The pursuit of God. And one of his chapters.
Classic.
Is the blessedness of possessing nothing. I remember a particular man that had nothing. Had nothing. Mm-hmm. In even what he had was about to be taken from him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do at all. And so he just sat and waited on God. And people began to say, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something. He says, I'm going to wait on God. I'm just going to wait on God. I don't care how long it takes. I don't know. I'm just going to wait on God. Well, you're going to lose everything. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your car.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's been waiting on, he's been doing it himself prior to that, and it didn't work out. So this time he's going to wait on God. We've all been there, right?
Oh, yeah.
And of course, his wife comes in there and begins to ridicule him, and, you know, we're going to lose this, we're going to lose that, and, you know, all this different kind of stuff. And because she's seeing the consequences of him waiting on God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is a powerful thing to do, by the way, that when you've made all these mistakes and you've realized when God began to do something in my life, what began in the spirit, I did it and turned up doing it in the flesh, and I started doing it myself and kind of left God behind. And so he's waiting. And so, I don't know, after 6 months possibly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was a long period of time. It was a long period of time. God just gives him a business. Gives him a business. Totally just glorifies his name, God's name, in his life, because they saw him wait. They saw him willing to lose everything because he wanted to hear from God.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ended up being over a million dollars in sales on an annual basis.
Mm.
Makes you want to wait on God, don't it?
Oh, yeah.
But what happened was, as soon as he waited on God and God blessed him with this, then he tried to keep what he never got in the first place. And then he started talking about, you know, ways to be able, started panicking that he's going to lose his stuff, the stuff that he didn't even have in the first place. Now he's worried about losing his stuff.
Sounds like Jeroboam, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then God required it of him. And took it from him.
Mm.
I mean, he could say, I willingly gave it up. Either way, it's gone.
That's right.
What happened? You know, what happened that all of a sudden, you know, when you started obeying God and it was just you and God, it was the blessed, you weren't even thinking about stuff or things, and you just loved God so much, you wanted to just do whatever he wanted. But all of a sudden, as you're walking in obedience to him, then God started giving you some things. And then it became about keeping the things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The fear of losing things. And it's like, how did your worship move from me to money? Don't you understand you can't worship them both?
Right.
How did all of a sudden you going into all the world and letting people know I love them and preaching the kingdom of God, not salvation, but preaching the kingdom of God, now you're preaching the kingdom of your building and your building program and your board of directors, you know, and all this different stuff. It's like, how did it get that way? And how come you celebrate now that somebody can be in your presence for 6 months and not even know you're the church? And you see that as a positive thing. Well, how did it get to that?
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Wouldn't it be better to have everything removed from our lives so we get back to the blessedness of possessing nothing?
Mm.
I mean, the only reason we should be holding on to things, we should do it loosely, is to be able to be faithful to God. If God gives you a Bible, hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just give away your Bible. I mean, there's things that you know, you need to provide for your family. I mean, you need, don't somebody just take your house, but then again, don't worship your house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God gives you a gathering place, you know, gather in it, but don't worship it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. And we got to begin to rethink, you know, what are we calling church? Because church is not a building. It's people.
Right.
If every time you ride by an address and you point at a building that nobody's in and you call that building the church, and everybody you see, you say, you need to come to our church, and or you have a pen on your blouse or your shirt that says I love my church, and you're referring to an organization or a building, I just challenge you that something's wrong with the DNA of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if all of a sudden it was originally about people and you're willing to do anything for people, but now you're throwing people on the furnace of the debt of your building and your building plan and your organization and your programs, and you're not even thinking about them. And we know this proved positive, and I'm thankful for anybody it's doing whatever you can do for God and helping whatever level. And you got to have orphanages if you don't have parents. So orphanages are very good without having parents. We talked about the institutionalized church yesterday, so we're not going to go there. I'm not saying that's a negative thing. If you don't have a fear of the Lord too, you need fences.
Mm-hmm.
But we have on the VFN Torch where you have this large gathering in that context of a building doing a good thing, a very good thing. And all of a sudden, in the context of that building, with this whole group of believers that are there, it was revealed that there's no relationships. Mm-hmm. They don't even know each other. Because while they were delivering the message, somebody stood up in that crowd and began to yell at the pastor there. You're probably looking at about 2,000, 3,000 people. Mm-hmm. And started coming against what he was preaching.
Right.
And so they ushered that person out. And everybody's clapping, yay! Well, you understand, they didn't know that person was even there until they stood up.
Mm-hmm.
And we dealt with that problem. And then all of a sudden, another one stood up and started yelling. This is in a building that one would call, and from traditional sense, a church. But the reality was the church is the people that were there, but in the midst of them were wolves, but nobody even knew it. And now on the other side of the church, the group of people, I don't know about the people, all of a sudden somebody stands up and begins to do the same thing the other one did. And then all the sheep look that way and they take that one out and they think we finally got him. And then another one stood and another one stood and another one stood and another one stood and another one stood. That is proof positive, church, that Paul said, I warned you day and night that wolves would come in amongst you with tears. I never stopped warning you. And the way that we're doing it, way that we're fellowshipping, the way that we're gathering, if we don't even know that we're sitting right next to a wolf, they didn't even know. They were right next to somebody who was filled with demonic intentions to do damage to Israel and damage to the church. And they didn't know. And I understand why they didn't know, because that kind of system is not relational. And you can have relationships in a big building because you can break down into smaller families and give authority to the pastors to be autonomous in the context of their following the Holy Spirit. But understand this. If Al-Qaeda stands up in the midst of your congregation, you don't even know they're there.
Mm.
Something's wrong. And then you think you dealt it all, and it pops up again and pops up again. Mm. Realize that you're responsible for those sheep who you didn't even know. You allowed a methodology that allowed wolves to come in amongst them. When Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament, the unction of the Holy Spirit, said, I warned you day and night they would come in, and what we're doing is allowing them to come in. We'll be right back in a moment.
You may be joining us today, and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He is a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go. Wi-Fi or no-fi? Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to vfntv.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones, you still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to vfntv.com and get the podcast today. Listen, I'm telling you, there's nothing more beautiful than family. I know you may have had some difficult experiences in your natural family. A family reunion might put chills up your spine. But listen, the family of God is not like that. When you find out that you get around a family who honors their Father, who honors Father God, who have in common their loyalty to Jesus Christ and a desire to follow His ways, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Listen, Find Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches. You may have tried everything. This time just to be. It's time to be the church. Maybe that's for you. Maybe you're ready to take the step and again say, you know what? I believe that I can be family, the family of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's for you. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, we're 24-7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. It's Abraham Lincoln. I mean, sitting in a chair to remind us. I mean, we really need to go get, monuments of our fathers. I mean, sure, there's some stuff out there. We got to really go back and rehearse that and find it and remember things. Remember how we got here.
Right.
But, you know, Abraham Lincoln, I mean, here's this man. He's a common man. I think they're making a movie about him right now. I saw on the news they're doing some sort of interview with somebody about him. And
yeah, I saw a preview of it.
I think, you know, kind of the mindset, though, what they're doing with our founding fathers, they're actually discrediting them and making them look less valuable.
Right.
Kind of rewriting our history.
Right.
You need to find out for yourself. I know the book written by Glenn Beck called Being George Washington. Oh, that was very good because it was accurate. Every single thing was documented. It was evidentiary. It wasn't some, you know, whatever. But in addition, he brought the evidence was there and everything was footnoted. But so you can really see he wasn't about chopping down cherry trees, and you know, it wasn't about that. This man had such character and integrity.
Right.
And I mean, he would sit upright to make sure his posture was right when he was in a room. He would articulate words in a certain way. We would think things through. He was very mannered, very polite. He would write in a certain way. He's a very calming man. He was a man that was a surveyor, and he understood. I mean, he's one of the founding fathers. I mean, the reason why they came to him and said, "Is there's no choice?" I mean, it's a no brainer. You need to be our president. As a matter of fact, they wanted to make him king. Right. Like, we just came from Great Britain. He's going like, I don't think so.
Right.
We just saw bloodshed, death, mayhem. And I was being threatened. Listen, if they would have lost this battle for America, the ones that we celebrate, who they're trying to make look like, you know, whatever, these guys would have been decapitated, disemboweled. It would have been horrific death for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they won. And you can say what you want to, but you're living in their integrity. You're living in their prayers, where they prayed, God, we cannot be under this king.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just about taxation without representation. There's like 17. But read the Declaration of Independence. They turned it into money. The atheists that came into our, we gave our school system over to, and celebrate even today, an atheist that wrote, began to rewrite books. And so he turned our reason for leaving England was strictly off of money. I don't know if y'all remember in the 60s and 70s, they started making, you know, cartoons, you know, Hard Rock cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
and they said they had, you know, the Tea Party, and then, you know, taxation without representation.
Yeah, I remember that.
A real cheesy cartoon, but educational in regards to trying to educate us in the way that they wanted us to think about it. But the biggest issue was not taxation without representation. Yeah, that was something, but there was not representative government. So over here in America, in the New England area, it's called New England because they came from England, right? And so you have New England, and you have the colonies, which are independent in themselves. Mm-hmm. But they would make laws and how they thought that New England should run, and they would let England know what was going on, and the king would undo those laws.
Mm-hmm.
They would say, this is how it needs to be in our state, and they would send it to Washington, and they would say, this is how we want it to be in our colonies.
All right.
And then the king would be notified of what was going on in Great Britain, and he would undo that law.
Oh, wow.
And so they were not having representative government.
Mm-hmm.
And that was huge because they had no control over their destiny. They had no, what they thought was best for them, that they could survive in a land that the king really knew nothing about. And it was a whole different ball of wax, if you would, in America. And besides, you know, they believed all our rights come from God,
mm-hmm.
that he would just change their laws. He would just get around them.
Wow.
He would come up with things like czars and the word wasn't czar, but it could be beheading.
Right. You know?
And he would just say, nah, I don't like that.
Right.
And so their frustration was not just taxation without representation. Listen, they had all of America, all the resources of America. Their frustration was, amongst many things, and some of the highest on their list was this one right here. The fact that it didn't matter what laws they thought they needed to have to over the land and over their people and community. The king would just do whatever he wanted to. So that means they didn't have representative government. It wasn't a republic.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tyrannical leadership under a king.
Mm-hmm.
And who himself was over the church, and there was no other church he thought other than the one that he was over. And so to switch churches or switch countries, treason. And of course, not only do you lose your citizenship,
mm-hmm.
you lose your head. And so, I mean, even his wife lost heads. And so anyway, it wasn't about money. So if you really see that, we got to get, you know, the original 10, I guess, is what we're hanging on right here, that it's happening right now, right before our very eyes. Right before our very eyes. And I want to encourage you, representative government requires you to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the ones that are having the tyrannical mindsets and they think they know best and that your rights don't come from God and that God won't, and, you know, we're talking to the church here, you know, believers, mm-hmm. and that they're not going to be happy with your revelation. Because to say God's God is to say they're not God.
Mm-hmm.
No, they don't mind saying they serve a God.
Mm-hmm.
But if it rules them out as one of the gods, one of the providers, you know, if they're not like, you know, they're going to be upset with you. Yeah, I don't mind what you worship as long as you worship what I'm putting before you.
Right.
The graven image type thing. And so with that, here we are today. They're making all these laws. And from what I understand, a friend of mine, a friend of my father's, is in Colorado,
mm-hmm.
Sent my father some information, and he got it to me, that they've already made so many laws now. They appointed so much bureaucracy, so many people working for government.
Right.
And they established so many things that it doesn't matter who's going to be president next. It's going to take forever to change the way driver's license office does things. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, no doubt.
That's what it is. If it's going to take that long, because they, you know, justices remain, you know, laws remain. I mean, not laws, but they're treated like laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, administrative comments and suggestions,
right.
And issues and things like that, initiatives. And, you know, with that, it's happening in our faces. And the thing that I want to encourage you is, everything in society is going to tell you, that's the sleeping society. They're going to tell you, what are you doing waking up? Just go back to sleep. They'll mm-hmm. take care of everything for
right.
you. just go back to sleep. You know, they have these little micro apartments they're building down in San Francisco, and it's like smaller than a 10 by 10.
What?
Yeah, it has everything right, just right there. You know why you can do that? You can do that because people look into imagery. They really don't experience life. All mm-hmm. they need is something to look at that looks like life, and then their body will react accordingly. They look at the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They look at television.
Right.
They look at their phones, and it kind of satisfies in a false way how God's meant for you to go smell the grass. Go step in dog poop. you know, get outside, throw some cow patties.
Right.
You know, if we're in Jersey, kick some cans over. I don't think there's any cow. Well, there's dairy farms in Western New Jersey. You know, for those in Colorado, you know, parasail off the mountains. I'm just joking. Please.
Wow, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, right. Man. And so, but they're building like 10 by 10. 10 by 10 rooms,
mm-hmm.
and it has everything stacked up. And the ladies being interviewed said, she said, I could sit here and reach over and grab the refrigerator at the same time. And she's talking about in the bathroom. It's like that small. Of course, in New York, you know, studio apartments and land and that type of thing. But, you know, America has plenty of land. But you're looking at, you know, provision. You know, the government will decide how many Cokes that you're going to drink. They will decide what they'll tell you that it's bad for you to smoke a cigarette, and they'll talk about all the details of smoking. But when it comes to plan B, kill your baby pill, they won't even tell the parents. They will just get this little secret opt out thing in New York right now, and the parents are in outrage.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the opt out stuff is on the online. You got to study for it. I think I'm the only one that reads that stuff.
I think so.
And then I check the same thing everybody else checks. I just want to know that I'm dying.
Right.
It's like, okay. My house, my dog, my cat. You know, you just click all these things you're giving away. And right now they're giving the day after pill to 14-year-old girls.
Mm.
And, you know, and which obviously got pregnant by boys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not even letting the parents know about it. Now, you jumped all over them for an educator. You don't need to be breathing that smoke.
Right.
You know, which you're right in saying, you know, smoking is bad for your health. I think it's a great thing for a teacher to do.
Mm-hmm.
But killing your baby, you didn't think snuffing out the life of the child of your baby, born under any circumstances, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the original founding fathers' values of our country, that all life is valuable.
Right. You know?
Everybody's important, from the oldest to the youngest. And this, we have to rediscover this, because people have devalued people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we believe in redemption. That's why we have correction systems. That's why we bring things before judges and magistrates and the jury of our peers, which means your neighborhood gets to come in and hear how somebody's accusing you to make sure that you're treated right.
Right.
And there was a media that used to look at it with an unbiased eye and just report everything they see. And then you had fair justice. But we're leaving away from that, where somebody in a back room with a bureaucratic hat on, you know, sketches out an idea or concept and regulates it, and for our good.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And next thing you know, you're in a, you know, 10 by 10 foot apartment with one digital screen that can take your mind anywhere, but not your soul.
Right.
And then the only thing you have room for is your plan B pills.
All
right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And your large Cokes wouldn't fit in there anyway, so you have a small Coke. And this is really happening. You know, I meant everything. You know, normally if you'll hear me like, and then like, you know, 2 weeks later, you're going to be like, yeah, that's what's going on. I'm a Saints fan. We'll be right back after this break.
Wow, you're probably listening to VFN Radio and you want to be part of the end time harvest. Well, I want to encourage you. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network University is for you, vfnu.org. This is a great opportunity for you to be raised up and to get anointed teaching. Listen, this is a wonderful time to be equipped. This is fresh revelation for where the church is going. Don't sit around and wonder, how can I be a part? Listen, this is for you. This is now. Get ready. Vine Fellowship Network University, vfnu.org. Come on and be a part of the end time harvest.
John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24-7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen. Get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
We have a great way for your VFN radio listeners to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
Oh, it definitely is. And that, you know, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from him. And it's just amazing. And I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. There was something that came up that God spoke to me and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word that it blesses you.
Exactly.
But it blesses another person.
Yes.
Another person. It's living and active.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues. It just keeps going and going, you know.
It's exciting, isn't
it? It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the creator of the universe.
Awesome.
You know, and he speaks to you, and he speaks to you clearly.
Right.
And he speaks to you the way that you hear.
Right.
You know, because, you know, we don't all hear the same way, but but God knows, you know, how to speak to us. And,
right.
And it's just awesome. It's just, it's powerful. You know, it's life changing.
Yeah. When you abide with the Lord, like he talks about in John 15, you know, apart from abiding in him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen instead of oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, you know, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen, we have a simple plan available for you right now. It's free. All you have to do is go to iabide.org. That's iabide.org and request your free plan today. Listen, you're called. And by the way, you can't do anything outside of abiding with the Lord. That's iabide.org. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
And we'd like to share every day a wisdom moment out of the book of Proverbs, and generally the corresponding day. There's 31 Proverbs chapters in the book of Proverbs, and there's 30, 31 days, sometimes 28 days in the month. And what we'd like to do is just correspond those 2 days, the chapter with the day, and share a word of wisdom. And today's moment of wisdom is found in Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. You know, we have a choice. Every day, you, myself, our neighbor, our friends, our coworkers, our family members, we all have a choice whether we're going to move and operate in love or move and operate in hatred. It is amazing that you ever hear people say when they're describing themselves. How many times have you ever heard someone describe themselves? I am just a hateful person. I'm hateful. I'm mean. I am rude.
Right.
And no. What do you always hear? I am so loving. I am generous. I am kind. Like an interview. I am a people person. I really, really like people. I'm like, really?
Come
really?
On.
Are you a people person? You know?
Yeah.
Well, I can't say on an interview, I'm not. Well, hello, why can't you? Why can't
you? Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I do. So dissension, right? What's dissension? A strong disagreement, contention, or quarrel. Hatred stirs quarrels up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't look at a certain, you know, certain attribute or certain thing when we're reading God's word and you know, have preconceptions or ideas of what we're reading and what we want that word to match to ourselves. You know what I'm saying? If I have a warped conception, let's say, that I'm just always loving and maybe there's, you know, just 100%,
mm-hmm.
I'll never even consider the fact that maybe, just maybe that day I moved in hatred or that moment. And one of the things that we have to do is just be real with God and real with ourselves so that when we're reading God's word,
mm-hmm.
it does what God's word says is going to do. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. I mean, you know, maybe you might have said something ugly.
Right.
Maybe what you said was hateful. Maybe what you did was hateful. And maybe God wants to show it to you. Maybe you did something that was loving. But either way, you don't want to come into reading the word with any kind of prejudices about yourself. You just kind of want to let your heart to be wide open before God, because whatever God tells you, you want to do it, whatever it is, you know, whatever it is. It's like someone said, did you get a good prophetic word? It's like, what are you talking about? Every prophetic word is good. You
know what I'm saying?
God is speaking. God is speaking. It's all good. And so what is hate? Hate is to dislike intensely or passionately. It's to feel an extreme aversion to hostility. It's just mm-hmm. hate. And when we see the, you know, dissension, we need to peel back. We need to like look further, peel back and see what is operating in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes we look at things, we think, oh, it's just this. No, there's something happening in the background. What's operating in that computer that's causing that thing to pop up? It just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that it's hate.
All right.
When you're seeing dissensions and factions and strife, I mean, my goodness, I want to start talking one day about, you know, how to live a peaceful life in a strife-filled, chaotic world. I mean, it's just everywhere you go, there just seems to be strife and mm-hmm. chaos. And you think about it, maybe you're at your job and people are just getting up and working, and it's like, it's 9 o'clock in the morning already? Already you're... You just came in with a pig pen of strife, a pig pen of it's like, and what's happening, I think what I believe is happening is that oftentimes people are leaving their homes that are so strife filled and they're just bringing that into the workplace. And you work with 10, 15, 20 people in a department that all are bringing all their different stuff and all their chaotic experiences, maybe in their home or in their marriage and their situations, and they bring it and it's like all converging at the, you're looking for an explosion to occur.
Mm-hmm.
And it just stirs up. It just stirs up dissension, strife. And you just got to deal with it. Hatred stirs it up. But love,
mm-hmm.
love is the opposite. Love covers all wrongs.
Right.
Honestly, love is the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it it promotes peace, you know, and love covers an offense. And we have to make a choice. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can get upset and hurt about in any given day.
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just life. People are going to say, people are going to do, people are not going to do at things that are hurtful, things that maybe are hateful. But if we choose to dwell on them, if we choose to sit on that, you're going to go down. You're going to go down. We need to choose love, you know. And I want to grow more and more in this area of my life, you know, in many areas. But I definitely want to grow in my ability to love. 1 Peter 4:8 says that above all else, love each other deeply. I love that they didn't know this. The word deeply wasn't omitted. It wasn't just enough to love, Pat. It was it was to love each other deeply. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins, and love chooses to you know, not bring up the matter anymore. Love is not worried about right or wrong, but rather just promoting that love. And sometimes people have, you know, like I said, different ideas or conceptions of what they think love is. The truth is that you can only love someone to the extent and to the proportion that you know what love is. If you've never experienced love, or the love that you the feelings that you associate with love are you know, basic or hurtful, is like, I am loving you. Don't you know this is, you know, if, right. you know, if your love is getting knocked around and hit, and it's like, I'm loving you. I'm loving you. What's your problem? You know, but the quality of your love is only based on the dimension that you've experienced love. And I think we spend so much time trying to love that we don't spend enough time receiving love.
Right.
Once you receive the Father's love, once God touches you in your heart, you've received the Father's love. You've actually experienced the most purest, the most amazing love possible. Once you've experienced that, then only then are you qualified really to allow that to flow through you, to allow that to be extended. That's your reference. That's your grid of what love is. It's like the thing about, you know, forgiving. Oftentimes, I think the people that the most challenges forgiving others are those that haven't received forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've received forgiveness from God, once you receive God's amazing forgiveness for the things, for the sins that you have done, there's such an amazing, overwhelming sense of gratitude, such an overwhelming sense of, oh, I've been granted mercy. I've been granted mercy. That forgiveness that you received from God will then be just flowing outside of you that you can forgive others.
Right.
And think about it, we spend all this time. Love, 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 just love, just love. You know, I'm going to love, I'm going to love, I'm going to love, and I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to forgive. And it's like, but I can't keep doing it. Or it's like, your love is hurting me. I know you say that you're loving me, but I define your love as hurt right now. We need to maybe focus on receiving God's love.
That's right.
It's like, we need to spend some time understanding that the Father loves us, that my goodness, look what he did. I mean, he says love covers all wrongs. Wasn't it God's love for us that covered all of our wrongs? Wasn't his love for us that took away all of our sins?
Mm-hmm.
When we're loving other people and we're not counting their issues and the things that they did to us, we're not counting it. We're not going to take tally. We're not going to keep score. We're not going to say, I saw that I'm going to take a mental note of that. When we choose not to do that, we're operating like Jesus did. We're operating like God did.
Right.
God's not taking mental score of the stuff that we've done. When we've asked him to forgive us, the Bible says he separates our sins as far as the east is from the west.
Mm-hmm.
He'll make us from, you know, he'll make us pure and white as snow. And we need the grace of God. We need God's supernatural empowerment to move and to walk in a place of love. Because let me tell you, love conquers all. And we need to settle not for our own perception of what love is.
Mm-hmm.
What does God say love is? What does the Bible say that love is?
Right.
So you can talk to 10 different people. Let me tell you, you'll get 10 different answers on what they think love is. And it's yeah. like, why not we go, you know, let's go to the source. And 1 Corinthians 13 is often quoted as the love chapter, but I think it's often quoted, but not so often meditated on, you know, mm-hmm. practiced
right.
and absorbed. And the first few verses in chapter 4, first few statements, it starts telling you what love is not. Love, what love is. Love is patient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're not being patient, we're not being loving.
Right.
Pretty deep. Love is kind. If we're being rude, then that was just not loving.
Mm-hmm.
Love, it does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not rude. If you're being rude, then it means their love is not present.
Mm-hmm.
It's not self-seeking. That seems to be a big one.
Right.
Because when we're trying to take score and we're trying to, this is talking about the moment of wisdom. We're talking about how we can understand God's purposes and his ways. How can we bring wisdom in our life? Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs. You know, if we're going to get along, if we're going to have peace in the home, if we're going to have peace in the workplace, if we're going to have peace in the family, if siblings, Pat, I just heard yesterday in Queens,
uh-huh.
a sister called 911 and told them, you need to get here because I'm going to kill my brother. You need to get here. I'm telling these people, they were in their 20s. Do you know that she wound up killing her brother?
Oh, my goodness.
She wound up stabbing him. And the report said that this family, the neighbors were saying they had a strife in the home, that they were constantly, the brothers were taking fistfights in the streets and all this. And you think, what happened there? What got loosed in that home?
Wow.
That there could be so much hatred and dissension and just being stirred up. And I'll tell you, don't take it lightly when your kids are arguing and people are saying, you know, just hateful and hurtful things. Those things need to be addressed because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If someone's saying, hey, we need to look at that. We need to see what is in your heart. What is it that it's allowing you to say and do those things to people as if God's eyes are not on us, as if God doesn't see.
Mm-hmm.
We need to move in love.
Right.
And the Bible's clear. So it's not self-seeking. It's not looking for a place to measure up and how does this benefit me? But love always says you go first.
Mm-hmm.
You go first.
That's right.
It's not easily angered. Uh-oh. It's not easily angered. It's not annoyed constantly, right? It keeps no record of wrongs. I want to encourage you that if you want to break that, you want to get wisdom in your home, wisdom in your life, wisdom in your workplace, wisdom amongst your friends and families. Don't keep records of wrongs, you know, because the same way that you know, Bible says, you know, forgive as I have forgiven others. You know, if you're keeping a list, you certainly don't want God to keep a list. It's like, oh, never mind. I'll throw this away,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we don't want lists. Lists are not good. If you're keeping a list on mm-hmm. someone, trust me, God can keep a list on you, and he doesn't. And love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It's not happy when evil things are. That's not love. It love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes, and love always perseveres. Love never fails. Love never fails. And the highest form of love is not a feeling. Right, it's a phileo love, the city of Philadelphia, right? It's just like it's not a feeling, but the highest form of love is an act. It's out of your own volition. You chose to do that. You willed to do that. And I think that if we willed more, if we chose love more, we would see some beautiful things happen. But we have to be a receiver of God's love.
Right.
Gotta be a receiver of God's love. Oh my goodness, the wisdom moment today is found in Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at vfntv.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.